Second Thessalonians, the second chapter, hear now the word of our Lord. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye not be soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there shall come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Now ye know that what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believeth not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. What is that number on the board? What does it signify? Is it a number of Satan? Is it a number of the beast? Is it the number of the Antichrist? Or is it all three? Where does it come from? You hear a lot about it. Been a lot of speculation. And so this morning I want to speak to you about the beast and the Antichrist. And if you will, turn first in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. And in that 13th chapter, let's look at the last two verses in that chapter, verse 17 and 18. And it reads, "And no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. Now the first thing, notice that there's no reference here to Antichrist stated. It's talking about a man, and it's talking about the beast. And we should not use the word Antichrist when speaking of the beast, because they're not one and the same. The word Antichrist, as a matter of fact, does not occur in the book of Revelation at all. And the book of Revelation, we know, is about a future time at the second coming of Christ. And yet, Antichrist is connected with that time, but yet we don't find Antichrist there in the book of Revelation at all. And here, in verse 18, it's easy to see that they are not the same. The beast and the Antichrist are two different things. The beast is not a false messiah. Deeper study will show you that the beast is the great world power at the latter times. The beast is made up of political power, military power, economic power. And it is this that causes the mark to be on those who are in the world at that point, and they cannot buy or sell or trade or deal if they do not have this mark of the beast. And the question over history has been, well, what is that beast? And there's been all kinds of conjecture about it. Some think it's the UN. And, you know, if you ever look on the UN building, you'll see the address is 6666, I think. I think it's 4 6s, not 3, but nevertheless. Those that suppose that that's it think that that's the beast because of this number on the building. Some decades ago felt that the United States itself was the great beast because it had drifted away from Christian principles and doctrine and so forth, and it was the beast. Today you'll hear those like Jack Van Epe from Canada speak with regard to the beast being the European Union and the rise again of the Roman Empire. Some think today that the Islamic faith is actually going to turn out to be the beast. And the truth of the matter is, we don't really know, but I think when we see it, we'll know it. Both the beast and the Antichrist, if you'll notice in this verse 18, have this number, 666. So the first thing I want to cover this morning, and this is covering some ground we've already talked about, but it doesn't hurt to review. What is the origin of this number? Where does this 666 come from? What significance does it have with regard to this verse in Revelation where it says it's 666? Well, I think you know that in the Hebrew and the Greek alphabet, every letter has a numerical value. They don't have numbers as such. You see it in Roman numerals. X, for example, is 10. V, the letter V is 5. L is 50. C is 100. You put them together, I and V makes 4. X and 1 makes 11. They do not have numbers as such in the Hebrew and the Greek language. For example, in Hebrew, A is equal to 1. B is equal to 2. However, 3 is not equal to C. They are not in order, these numerical values with regard to the alphabet itself. In Hebrew, G happens to be the number 3. Now, a simple example in Hebrew then would be the name Father, which in Hebrew is Abba. That would be the name Father in Hebrew. So what I just told you there, A is equal to a value of 1, plus B, which is 2, plus B, which is 2, plus another A, which is 1, and that, when you add them up, is equal to 6. So the numerical value of that Hebrew word, Father, or Abba, is 6. I need to have a pop quiz. What is the number 6 in Scripture? What does it denote? Anybody remember? Man. 6 denotes man. That's pretty good, Max. You remembered? What is 1? Unity. What is 2? Division. What is 3? Completeness. What is 4? Creative works. What is 5? Grace. 6, of course, is man. What is the number of Christ? Does anybody remember? What does his name add up to be in the Hebrew? 888. That's the total value of the letters in his name, 888. 8, of course, meaning the new beginning or resurrection. Now, if you have a companion Bible, you can see a little bit more about this in Appendix 10 in the back of your Bible. It talks a little bit about the numerics. And it's a deep subject. I think you've probably seen on TV about the Bible code. I don't know if the Bible code is true or not. It wouldn't surprise me if it was. Back here in our library, we have a book on numbers by Ethelbert Bullinger. It's about 400 or 500 pages on Bible numerics. It's a very interesting study. And we've just hit the tip of the iceberg here with what we've talked about. But you can see that the number 6, of course, is the number of man. And that's where this 666 number will come from. It will be the combined value of the numerical values of the letters in the name of the beast and of the Antichrist. The Antichrist, not a Antichrist. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. There's a difference between the Antichrist and a Antichrist. So the first thing we want to think about this morning is that we do not want to confuse these two names. They are not synonymous, the beast and the Antichrist. By confusing these two titles, we are apt to misunderstand what the Scripture is teaching us. And it's plain here in verse 18 that they are two different entities or beings. The beast is an organization comprised of political and military and economic power. And the Antichrist is the person or being that will sell or push this organization to the people of Israel in particular. And also the fact that he is their Messiah. And basically, he will commandeer this Antichrist, the Antichrist, will commandeer this beast. And this morning, I want to now jump off of the beast, and we want to look at just the Antichrist itself. I want to dwell on the Antichrist part of this verse this morning. The only place in Scripture that the words Antichrist appear are in the book of John, the epistles of John, not John, but the first and second John, are the only places that this name Antichrist appears. The preposition anti means primarily over against. It contains the idea of opposition to or instead of. Antichrist must be distinguished from a false Christ. There's two different things. Anti is against, opposition to, and it is not the same thing as a false Christ. And so we've got to distinguish between the two. The reference in 1st and 2nd John bear this out. So go to the book of 1st John, page 1872, the companion Bible. 1st John, chapter 2, and we'll look at just a couple of verses in that second chapter. Starting with verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrist, whereby we know that is the last times. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. The passage here predisposes that there is to come some individual who shall be the Antichrist. But notice it's singular. The word there is singular. That Antichrist shall come, even now as are many, and then plural Antichrists the second time. Some of these Antichrists, those who were against the beliefs of Christianity, they went out and they left on their own. Those that deny are called liars, of course. Now, in that same book of John, turn over to chapter 4 and go to verse 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Here again we have doubt about the nature of Christ's person. It parallels the meaning of Antichrist as we saw in the second chapter. These Antichrists are those who simply do not believe that Christ was God incarnate in the flesh. Now, the only other place that you find Antichrist in Scripture is in 2 John. We'll turn the page over to 2 John, and there's only one chapter in 2 John, and we want to look at verse 7. For many are deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So here we're seeing the same thing. But the interesting thing is that there's something here that does not jump out in the English language, but it is quite obvious in the Greek. And I'm not a Greek student, and I don't aim to be teaching English or Greek here in this Bible form, but I have learned that it is so important to get these things right. And the scholars know, sometimes we laymen don't. And this is one of the places where if we were reading in the Greek Bible, we would have a greater understanding. In these two passages that we just read, there are two forms of the Greek verb to come that are used in reference to the Lord coming in the flesh. One, in 1 John 4:23, and let's go back to that, turn back two pages to 1 John chapter 4, verse 23, verse 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that cometh at Jesus Christ is come. That is come is perfect tense. The word in Greek is eleuthota. It is perfect tense. It would read in the English language better, has come. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Has come. When you read is come, you don't quite catch it. But it is in the Greek perfect tense. As opposed, now turn back over to John, 2 John, verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come. And here, it is not perfect tense. It is present participle, which is saying that he is coming. Now, I hope I didn't lose you on that. If you want more, I can give you more. But I don't want to go into it. I've got both of the words here, the present tense and the present participle and the perfect tense words in the Greek. But one is saying he has come, and the other is saying he will come. One denies he has come. The other denies that he will come. Both attitudes are essential characteristics of Antichrist and anti-Christian teaching today. Everywhere you go, in the school system, in the media, in history, in religion, therefore the beast, it's denied that Christ actually, as God, came in the flesh. It's also denied that he will come again in the flesh. So we see anti-Christ means opposed to or against him, as opposed to a false Christ. So there's been many antichrists then all through the course of history. And that's what the verse that we first read showed, that there are many in the world and that there are many to come, and that we as Christians have to be careful and watch for those. So here's what I would say then in concluding. The only premillennial kingdom spoken of in Scripture is the anti-Christian kingdom of the beast. And I think we're starting to see that develop in the world today. What it's going to take on, I don't know. Is it going to be the United Nations? I don't care. All I know is that I can begin to see this developing, a world government where one nation rides herd over another one. And it seems to be growing. And at some point in time, there will be one Antichrist, the Antichrist, in which the anti-Christian doctrine will climax. The one Antichrist will commandeer or take charge of this beast that is being developed. And that Antichrist is referred to, I don't know if you picked this up, but in the verses that Dave read in 2 Thessalonians, let's look at that again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What page was that, Dave? 1796. You notice in this chapter again, starting at verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who else in Scripture was referred to? Only one other person was referred to as the son of perdition. Can somebody tell me who it was? It was Judas, the betrayer. And so we see two guys of the same nature here. The son of perdition. Perdition means damnation or spiritual ruin. The son of perdition. Turn now, if you will, to Matthew chapter 24. And I want to point out here the words of Christ indicating that there are to be more than just Antichrist, that there will be the Antichrist. So Matthew chapter 24, and let's, I want to jump through this chapter. I don't want to read it all, but I want to jump through on just some key verses. You can read it all later if you'd like. But on chapter 24, let's start with verse 3. And he, that Christ, being Christ, sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? By the way, what is world? What did we talk about last week? What is that Greek word, world? Aeon, age. That's the first meaning of that word aion in a Greek dictionary. So he's talking about the end of the age. God's dealt with man at different times through the ages in different ways, and we are living in an age that is between Genesis and Revelation. So it's not the end of the world, it's the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Jump over to verse 21. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say unto you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ." Notice it doesn't say antichrist. It's a false Christ. "False prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect." Jump down now to verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Remember what I told you here a couple Sundays back, or asked the question, why, with all the information that was available in the Scripture, could the Israelis miss their Messiah? And somebody answered that question, maybe it was Stephanie, said, because they didn't know their Scripture. That's exactly right. So I asked the same question. How will we know by Scripture? How are we going to be unlike the Jews and make sure that we're not deceived as the very elect, us being Christians? How are we not going to be deceived by this Antichrist that's going to come into the world and commandeer the beast? Well, it tells us right here. "And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great power and glory." This will be an event unlike anything that has ever occurred. When Antichrist comes along, we read, or Dave read, where he would do signs and wonders and great things. But it is a counterfeit. Remember, Antichrist is a counterfeit of the real thing. And when the real thing comes along in the clouds and comes, every eye, every ear on earth will know that this is something that has never been seen before. So don't be fooled by this Antichrist that's going to come along and claim that he is Messiah. And by the way, I hate to say that it's directed primarily at Israel. We as the Gentile nations are almost sitting on the sidelines at this point. And more than likely that Antichrist will be a renegade Jew, because he's going to sell to the nation of Israel that he is Messiah. And he'll make a covenant with the nation of Israel for that last prophesied week in Daniel of the 70 weeks. And he will set a covenant up with the nation of Israel, but he breaks that covenant at the end of the mid of that week or 3.5 years. The return of Christ will be unprecedented, unlike anything that Antichrist can do. And I encourage you to take a look at this. We've just hit the iceberg tip here. There's a whole lot of information with regard to this. Don't be fooled by Antichrist whenever he comes on the scene. I personally don't feel like, as a lot of people do, that it's going to be next week or next year or 2012. If you know anything about prophecy, you realize that it's not yet. Some of you younger ones, like Carly or Court or Grant, Amelia, you may live long enough to see this Antichrist. And if you understand, you won't be fooled. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the information you've provided for us in this magnificent word. We ask that you would continue to give us an understanding to open our hearts and minds that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. For it's in his name, Jesus Christ our Lord, that we pray. Amen.